With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I am joined in the podcast studio with the one and only comedian Danny Ward.
Comedian, independent filmmaker.
Actor, presenter, writer.
Star of a two-thirds of a double page in The Guardian.
For... directing,
yeah,
that's nice. Let's start with that. You're in The Guardian.
Well, I thought there's a couple of things we could plug here. One of them, I was going to say where we are today.
We don't plug on this podcast,
don't we?
Yeah, all the time, too much of anything.
I was just going to say because where are we today? We're in a satellite studio.
We are
in the hipster central Clapton. Let's face it, a studio space that it couldn't be any more hipster if we were wading in smashed avocado.
We're doing Sunday afternoon show. It's great.
Well, it's Jeff Innocentsong, Callie Beaton, Andrew Mensah, yourself. I'm hosting the shindig. Brought the speakers with me,
so you can add
Rhodey to that list at the beginning.
So
there's no point plugging that show now, is it? Because it's A, it's sold out, and B, by the time you get this out, it will
be
in the
past.
But
that's where we are. We're just setting the scene. We're having a nice time. We this is lovely because we haven't seen each other for a while because Danny Ward has taken the maverick approach to Edinburgh the week before, 2 weeks before, just went camping.
Well, some people think it's important to have a impactful series of previews in order to really hone your show before you reach Edinburgh. I thought it was more important to find myself on a cliff in Devon. Good news is, found myself.
Did you?
Yeah.
Good. How was it?
It was good as gold, Mark. Do you know, 2 years ago I found this campsite in Bigbury in Devon. In fact, can you bleep that out because I don't want people to know it exists. It's my own taste of paradise and it looks out over to Burr Island. Can you bleep that out as well? And I just pitched my tent 2 years ago. It was all in the midst of COVID. And as I said then, COVID just doesn't exist here.
Yeah.
And basically, I can extend that now. No problems exist here. All you've got to think about is surviving the, quite frankly, brutal freezing cold conditions at night. The, quite frankly, audacious heat that smashes down on you through the day. And the reasonably high winds. So,
but other than that, it's great.
It's not so much a holiday, more like surviving. But again, probably preparing for the end of the world.
Slash Edinburgh.
Very similar.
Yeah. Did you do any work on your show when you were...
Oh, Mark, I did so much work on my
show.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Well, when I say that, someone took a video of me surfing and where I fell off the surfboard.
You did? I've seen that. It's really funny.
So that I'm sticking that into the PowerPoint. That constitutes working on the Edinburgh show, doesn't it?
Was that it? Then?
Actually, I'll tell you what. Should I tell you what I've worked on for my intro?
I'd love to.
Okay, I thought, so I'll turn up to the gig. It's called You Get What You Pay For, as everyone knows. So that's my get out of jail free card. And I will say, just come back from camping. Well, I had three things to do. I had to find myself, finish my Edinburgh show, and learn how to surf.
Okay.
Turns out, nailed all three. Then I'll show the video of me falling off the surfboard and go, you're in for a treat.
That's really
bit
nice.
Bit of fun, isn't it?
That's the opening gambit.
Yeah, and also I've got a thing about finding myself.
Oh, okay.
Ask me how I'm feeling.
How are you feeling, Danny?
Neither good nor bad, as it should be. Yeah, see?
What's Zen. That? It's philosophy.
Yeah, I found myself. And when you say that, so when someone asks how you are and you say that, neither good nor bad, as it should be, then obviously people can then foresee that you are a bit of a cunt. So that's me finding myself a bit.
Yeah.
And then also talking about the show, I'm going to tell people that it's not actually as advertised an hour. it is now 50 minutes due to the increased cost of materials. I haven't put the price up, I've just reduced the amount.
Okay.
The wagon wheel model.
The price up there is free.
Which everyone's doing it now, aren't they? I had a Twix the other day that I honestly thought was one of those heroes or miniatures.
Oh, because it's so small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was not the length of my thumb, Mark.
Wow.
So if everyone's making things smaller, they're getting 47 and a half minutes out of me.
Well, you stated that. You've made it down clear.
Although it's an hour in the brochure, you see.
Oh, is it?
But the reason for that is...
You will not find a single person in Edinburgh going to watch a show sitting in a hot, sweaty little cave with an uncomfortable seat, gets to 47 and a half minutes and go, I want the last 12 minutes.
No one in the history of time has left a comedy show going, I wish that was longer.
No.
it's not hot and sweaty, Mark. It's got the best air conditioning in Edinburgh. Labyrinth chamber room at 3:45. It's as cool as a cucumber. But
I've never done a show in the Liquid Rooms at 1:45. I don't know what their air conditioning is like, but I imagine it's amazing.
Yeah, well, it's a nightclub, isn't it? So especially post-COVID, they've got the best air filtration systems going, mate.
Yeah, there we go.
But the other thing about that, because I always dread going to watch Edinburgh shows, simply because of the length of them.
I have a bad back, so I can't sit.
Well,
for
I
long.
Have a couple of pints, so I just remember that time when I left Nick. Should I tell that story?
Oh yeah, what was
that?
Oh,
that was so humiliating.
Oh yeah, Nick Helms.
I was watching Nick Helms' show because
his show or the
no, his show, his
the,
show,
not the
not the musical,
not the musical.
Mate, I would have wet myself. I would have wet myself rather than leave that musical.
We went to see the musical once. You love a musical.
I saw it twice,
and we loved it so much. You went and saw it twice.
Yeah, yeah. Brilliant.
It's really
absolutely
good.
What's
that called? It was called I Think You Stink.
Yeah.
Was that it?
Right, that's 3 if not 4 years ago. I Think You Stink, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That's how much I loved it, that I can't remember the name. But
no, but you, I mean, that's a...
We all know that I love musicals.
You bloody loved it.
But then I had a couple of pints before I went to see Nick Helms.
Friend of the show, Charlie, is delivering a nice Coca-Cola. Thank you very much, Charlie. So you went to watch Nick's show
with a couple of pints. But I should point out, I'm friends with Nick, right? And went with Gareth Richards. And I really needed a wee to the point where it was really, really bad. And I had to go to the loo, Mark. I had to. And I went to get the loo. And when I tried to come back, they don't let you back in.
Oh, yeah.
So it looked like to Nick Helm that I'd walked out of the show. I was mortified.
Did he
actually brought that up quite recently, and I felt reasonably. I know.
So
I felt
he saw you leave.
Yeah, he saw me leave, mate, and then saw me not come back.
Oh, no. That's so.
Yeah, I might have to get some of them adult Pampers.
But did you tell him at the time what happened?
Well, no, because I couldn't get back in the show.
But you didn't afterwards. You didn't tell him.
I mean, I think I might have just hoped he hadn't saw me. You see,
right?
So I didn't sort of bring it up. The other thing about our shows is what I say to people is, if it's a 47 and a half minute show, and I've already done 2.5 minutes. So if you were coming here dreading the thought of an hour long show, you already caught the way through it.
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, yeah. Only 3/4 left.
I don't know what's. I always think that for me, I always think less is more.
I do. I do that. I think in a club set, like if someone says it's a 20 to 30 minute set, I already go over 22. Yeah. Unless I've particularly got something to work on. Because if it's going well...
Leave them wanting more.
Yeah, why risk ruining it?
Exactly. And the thing is, I think sometimes promoters think that they're getting 10 minutes more than 20 minutes. But it's not really...
Just have a 10-minute more break. No one knows the difference.
Yeah, it doesn't really work in terms of number of minutes they're buying. They're buying a quality of your performance. And it being longer does not necessarily equate to it being better.
Yeah. Like the other day, there was a 35-minute set. When I got there, I looked at the thing. 35 minutes, such a weird amount of time.
And also,
do you reckon they've heard about the 40-minute lull and were like...
You just get out before then.
Yeah.
Maybe people on the podcast, do they know about the 40-minute lull?
I don't think we've ever really spoke about it.
So the concept is that in Edinburgh, when you do an hour-long show at the 40-minute mark, it just dips.
It dips.
No, but it's not necessarily you. It's the audience's attention.
Their reaction just gets much, much
because
lower.
Because the research tells us that, we can't really focus on more than about 30 minutes at a time.
And you know what? When I first started doing hours and I felt a dip, I'd look at my watch. It was always 40.
Yeah.
It's mad, that, isn't it? But it is always 40.
Well, the beauty of it is that when I hit the dip at 40, I've got 7.5 minutes to go. And I've got closing video, then I'll be shaking me bucket. So they'll be shuffling out by that time. I'm just going to do a tight 20, Mark.
Just do a tight 20, mate, with
bit of audience chat.
Cool. Okay, what's how long have we been chatting?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, ask me a question.
Who's on the podcast this week?
Adele Cliff.
Uh-huh, very good.
Yeah, do you know Adele Cliff?
Yeah, where did you record the interview?
We did a gig together in Huddersfield. It was a preview.
Whoa, did you go all the way to Huddersfield for a preview?
Yeah, we drove.
Oh, you drove them up. You drove up together, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. And then we drove back. Huddersfield's far.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously, you know, the type of guy I am. I drove Adele to her house.
I do hope you did. It would probably have been 2 o'clock in the morning.
I think it was later than that. Yeah, I don't think I got home till 3:30 in the
That's
morning.
That's mental. Was it light?
What's that?
It wasn't far off being light.
And also, I'm very sensible these days when it comes to being tired and driving. So as soon as I got to the point, normally on an average gig day, I will have a nap in the day because I believe that because we have to peak at like 8 o'clock, which is when everyone's normally winding down, I have to have a nap earlier to
increase
jump start myself. Because we were driving all day up to Huddersfield, I couldn't have a nap.
Yep.
I felt all right for the show, but on the way back, my eyes started getting super heavy. So as soon as that happened, pulled into the services. It's really funny. I just had to say to Adele, can you just go and sit in the services for 15 minutes?
Did you?
Yeah, because I can't have a little nap while in the car.
No, that would be well weird.
Can you imagine that whilst Adele's just sitting there just like...
I guess she's happy because it means that she's not going to get killed when you fall asleep at the wheel.
Of course, yeah. And Adele's lovely. So she, you know, she understands.
What kind of time was it in the services?
I reckon I napped at 1:30.
Wow, so she's in the service at 1:30.
Yeah, she's
because that means
a busy service.
I'm not worried about that. It's all CCTV secure. But I'm just thinking your options are closed down with regard what to do. The Cotton Trader shop will be shut. Yeah,
luckily this was a good one. Costa was open,
and WH Smith seems to never ever close.
Sometimes it does actually, but in Cobham it closes. But everything else, like McDonald's and that, is open. So it's sort of.
I got an idea. I had an idea for a sitcom about service stations.
Yeah.
It's not for now probably, but just the idea of a really old fashioned one that's just sort of a 1/2 mile further than the brand new big all spangly big moto job.
That's a
great idea.
So it's
just them just trying to hold on and sort
of. You probably don't want to give that away on
the dribs and the drabs. Well, it's all materials copyrighted, and if anyone wants to steal it,
we've got evidence.
And they'll be in big trouble.
Yeah, and literally, all I need is 10 minutes with my eyes shut.
Proper
I don't even
nap.
Have to fully nod off. I just have to have 10 minutes with my eyes shut, wake up, feel good as gold, have a cup of tea, and I'm away.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely fine all the way home.
It does make it seem like some sort of military exercise, though, doesn't it? When you're having to stop on the way back, get back at 3:30, drive it.
Because like in an ideal world, you'd get a hotel, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would, yeah.
But
those days are gone.
Oh, those days are gone. For it's very rare that a club will give you a hotel, but getting one yourself.
Well, it's
prices
your profit.
These days,
it's going to make you cost you money to do it.
A lot of time, you wouldn't make any money out of a gig. Plus, if you're including fuel.
Yeah.
And also, it's a bit much to tell Adele she needs to get a hotel room as well. Like that just wouldn't work.
Ask me how much it was per night camping, Mark.
How much was it worth per night?
£9 a night.
Wow.
So maybe it's worth investing in a tent.
Speaking of service stations, I tell you when we're going to be spending a lot of time in service stations together, Danny, that's on my Quip Off the Mark tour.
Oh, yeah.
Where you are supporting me on the majority of the dates. And I am coming to, we are coming to, I say I because you aren't coming to all of them, Barton-on-Humber, Leeds, Chorley, Bristol, Banbury, Brighton, Norwich, Oxford, Burnham-on-Sea, Bridport, Sale, Maidstone, Cambridge, Birmingham, Guildford, London, Derby, Leicester, Carlisle, Liverpool, Dublin, Cardiff and Chelmsford, more to be added soon. And they're selling really well. I'm really chuffed.
Yeah, I saw the sales figures yesterday looking beautiful.
Thank you to everyone who's bought tickets. And you can get tickets to these shows via the link in my bios on my social media or at marksimmons.co.uk.
Unfortunately, I won't be in Sale, nor will I be in Dublin, because I've got a 3-day run, Totnes, Hope Cove, Plymouth. And get this, Mark.
You guys camp.
I could camp in my campsite for Hope Cove. You can see it. It's the next bay across.
Oh, is it? And on that note, I reckon we should...
play the damn cast.
We recorded this just before the previews.
Right.
And then we had a little... Adele went first, and in the interval, we recorded a little bit more just to see how it went. Here it is. Do 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 I think this is the first podcast I've done while someone's doing their makeup.
I'm privileged to help you tick something off the bucket list, I assume.
Yeah, I've been. This has been it's a lifelong dream of mine.
Years and years you've strived to watch someone
Do
a bad job with their makeup quickly.
I wanted to be a makeup artist, but they didn't like my application.
Hey.
There we go. I even did a foundation degree.
Oh, this is fantastic
there
work.
There we go. What a start. What a start. And you're holding the microphone with your knees. You're an absolute pro.
I should do this on stage, but apparently it's weird. I like the idea that in podcast form, people will be like, how is she holding the microphone with her knees? Don't explain it.
Yeah, I mean, the sound levels may be all over the place, but that's what you get, guys.
That's what you get with knee stuff. That's what you get.
I have taken full advantage of us doing a preview together. You've got stuff to do. I've got stuff to do, but we're doing the podcast.
I've got stuff to do.
But the stuff we've got to do is...
It's very podcast-related.
Podcast-related.
Yeah.
It's show-related. We've both got two previews left.
Yeah, two previews.
So what I thought we'd do, we may not do this, but
we'll
I thought we could talk
happens.
About stuff.
Yeah.
And then you're doing your preview before me.
I am.
So there'd be an interval. And if we get chance, I think we could do a little bit of a chat. What do you call that? Like a debrief.
Debrief. And then are we going to debrief yours, or are we going to get in the car and do an in-car debrief of yours?
Yeah, I feel like we need to get on the road because we've got a four-hour drive to get
home.
If
it goes well. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm bringing us down before we've even started the gig.
I will need a nap as well at some point. So, cool. I think I'm just constantly pressing these little buttons, and I think I'm. Oh,
oh my god! Do you ever come to your watch for wearing on stage, and just see that it's been counting up for like a day? Yeah. My stopwatch was on. I haven't used it for 2 days. It must have been 2 days of it
is
counting.
Is that one of the vibrating ones?
Oh no, this is just a classic Casio, $9.99.
Nice. Oh cool, yeah, because nearly all comedians have got this. People that aren't comedians won't know this, but you will notice a lot of comedians have the same watch because not many watches have a vibration function that you can set up. So once you've done your 20 minutes, it tells you.
Mine doesn't. Mine's just the one that just counts up, just a stopwatch that counts up.
But weirdly, I'm always sort of every so often looking at it, so I know what I don't need it to vibrate.
Yeah.
I don't think.
No, I did. My sister's ex-boyfriend gave her, before they were exes, his Fitbit, and then she later, after they broke up, bought a new Fitbit. So I inherited my sister's ex-boyfriend's Fitbit. I don't have the money for my own, so I just take what I'm given. And I tried it for a little bit, but it was like a men's watch, so it's quite massive and made me feel like I was showing off, even though
I wasn't.
And also it was the screen's not on all the time, so you have to like consciously hold your wrist up to make it start, which
looks
really weird.
Yeah, that looks like, because you don't want the audience
to be like, I've got a bus to catch. So
yeah, that's what they think. That's funny, because I'm looking because I don't want to overrun.
Yeah, I'm also looking because I want to check I can fit more jokes in like, you know.
And they think you don't want to be there.
Yeah,
have I finished
my job yet?
Yeah, he's checking.
Yeah, so I didn't like it because until it vibrates, you have fuck all idea what's happening. So,
exactly.
Or F all idea what's happening. I don't know how much swearing you have on this podcast.
So whatever you want.
Oh my God.
Whatever you freaking want. So
jokes unleashed.
So how are you feeling about your preview you're about to do?
I'm excited. We have a nice number of tickets, which is always nice at a preview.
Yes.
You always do a weird combination of previews where it's like a small number of people in a hostage situation and then a normal number of people for a normal gig.
And you can't judge the show. I think those are only useful for learning the show.
They're useful for learning. Sometimes you'll get an audience that are properly useful, like they're not laughing because they're obligated, but they are willing to just laugh and not be self-conscious. But that's like 40% of the time maximum. The rest of the time it's people being polite and smiling along, and you're like, well, it's a witnessed rehearsal.
And you do have to know it quite well, because
you don't get the long pauses.
You don't get the pause to think about what's coming next, and that's I really struggle with that, because at least with a story you can get to the end of your story and it's been a while, but after 10 seconds and then
every
another
time
10
you
seconds.
Check the notebook again, people are like, absolutely. This person doesn't know what they're doing.
So your stuff's a bit more story based, you said?
A little bit. It's like multiple anecdotes that are all vaguely relevant to the same theme, I think, in this show is the best way to vaguely describe it.
So are there any jokes in the show that you, or jokes that you've dropped from the show that you couldn't quite get to work?
there's loads I've dropped because I've been like, we've all been working on these shows for ages, and I've written loads of new stuff to put in, so I've just forced stuff out, which is kind of a shame. Some of the bits I forced out I really like, but they weren't as good for the show.
Can
as the bits I put in. I have a whole bit about shopping for knives.
Shopping for knives?
Yeah, as in like, so I have a favourite knife and I live in a flat share. I have a favourite knife. It's not actually mine, but you know, we've lived together about 4 years and I own a label maker. So
is it a black handled knife?
Little black handle, little black. Yeah, it's classic, like a paring
everyone's
knife.
Favorite.
Everyone loves a paring knife. And then I had a bit about like other type, the shittest kind of knives. There's two. And then I have a whole bit about why I don't want to, the two shittest knives.
Yeah, what are they?
They are a steak knife. It's just a shit bread knife. and also, you know those little guys you get on a cheese board with the horns that are like, ooh,
oh, that's, yeah,
look at me, we're fancy, we're having a cheese board.
So those horns...
The prongs
I don't
are
know
for like picking up the cheese.
Are they?
But the end of every other knife is a prong, so just showing off.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was about that. And then it's basically the whole thrust of the bit was, I don't want to lose this knife when this house share breaks up because I don't like shopping for knives because I find it awkward. Because you can't really browse,
right?
Like not for as long as you want to. And then I had a weird new bit that me and my director put in a while ago that was very odd. Where it was like, I find shopping for knives a bit like shopping. I try and shop for knives in the same way I shop for tampons, which is I see them from a distance and I scoop them into my trolley on the move. And then if I'm wrong, the next month's fucked. But then we had a like add-on where we were like. They won't let you try them out in the store. And, you know, sometimes I like to get them out and, you know, toss them at a dartboard and see if the tampon sticks.
Nice.
Which was fun. And it was the whole bit was fun. And it was quite fun to ask the audience if they had a favourite knife or, like, what types of knives they liked. None of it was relevant to what the show's about. So
when
I was
you
like,
said, because when you said about throw it at the dartboard, I thought you were going to do a switch, but I didn't know. But you said stick, so that adds an extra to it, that it's a used one, right?
Is
that
I suppose it is in that joke. Like, I did various versions of it where it was like the implication was used or not used, or have I just been sharpening them? It was all very unclear.
And what was the reaction to the different versions?
Most of them were all kind of like, oh, she's a bit odd. like
but
in
did
a
you
laugh
get any
form.
In that
I did once or
not?
Twice get like ones where maybe a third of the audience were like, huh? And kind of a like, are you being gross or am I just not getting the joke way? Because I'm not really trying to be gross.
That's a good switch, isn't
it?
Yeah,
I think it's a funny switch. It's like
but it didn't have the effect of a good reveal.
It had sort of the effect of a good reveal. I'm not doing it really justice because I haven't been doing it for a few months because I dropped it from the show.
But did you drop it because it wasn't hitting?
I dropped it because it was a long enough bit that it felt like I was trying to significantly make knives a part of the show, but they were not in any way relevant to the show. And
the first bit's great because it's like the first bit about the different sorts of knives is a nice observational bit.
Yeah.
You could see a McIntyre or someone sort of picking that apart.
Open your knife drawer, see what's in your knife drawer.
Yeah. And then it goes to a personal anecdote, or is it an anecdote or just your experience of not wanting to buy knives?
Yeah. Well, and then I was also linking it in with some other material I had about like living in a house share, and some of it's still in there about breaking and stuff like that. So it was nice. It all flowed nicely. It's just that when it got down to it, I was like, this bit isn't actually necessary. It's not leading into anything or leading out of anything. It's just a bit that I find funny.
I had a knife joke that didn't really work.
Was it not sharp enough?
Hey, come on.
Oh my god, stop the podcast now. We're never gonna top it.
No, I haven't started recording yet. No.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So it was about, basically, you shouldn't mug someone with a knife because they'll stab you.
Yeah.
So
I like that.
But it doesn't have enough of a, I don't know what it is. I don't know if they don't.
I think it's maybe
it,
the actual truth of the fact that frequently people with knives have their own knives used on them, which means that.
Do they?
Yeah, quite like carrying a weapon is giving someone else who gets that weapon off you a weapon.
Yeah, of course.
It? I mean, obviously, that's an oversimplification.
Oh, no.
That is.
No, I think you've misread what I meant.
Oh, okay.
I think this might be the issue.
I know that in your joke, the person with the knife is the one who you are mugging. Not the one who's doing the mugging, right?
Hang on, I can't even remember the joke now. So, yeah, I think you are right then. You're with it. So,
I just mean that
I said you shouldn't mug someone. So I'm mugging someone who's already got a knife.
Yeah, and then you'll get stabbed.
Yeah.
But
so you think that because sometimes they think that me with my knife might still get stabbed.
Yeah, I think that might
so
be
that's
the
confusion.
The issue of it.
Because to
me, at least, it's obvious that the person with the knife is not you.
You shouldn't mug someone with a knife. Even if it's a really, even if they've got a really nice.
Because we had a bit in this bit, me and my friend, that we wrote about knives, and we put an extra bit. We had a bit about the cheese knife in there. We were like, we were talking about what a stupid knife it is, and then we were like, look, let's be honest, it's a hell of a signature move, pulling out a cheese knife. But it would be the kind of signature move where afterwards they'd be like, oh my god, did you hear about that guy who got in one fight and then died? So it's not quite the signature you want to have.
Yeah, maybe if it's like the other day I mugged someone with a knife. So I've now got their knife.
Yeah, that's I like that. That's just much more.
You say knife twice, but I don't know if it matters.
Sometimes that feels like one of the jokes where the repetition is serving the punchline as opposed to diminishing it.
I was thinking of that nice Gary Delaney line last time I was here I was offered sex. Had to disappoint her. We had sex.
Nice.
So you're saying sex twice,
yeah,
but if that's an example of one, it doesn't matter.
Well, almost it makes it better in that joke. It's a really small group of jokes where the repetition really amps it up. But yeah, that would work in that one. Because I like, because that's a more innocent one where nobody in that joke gets stabbed, but there is still the
so
same
it doesn't add
twist.
That.
So it doesn't add the kind of people being actually concerned.
Yeah, but they mug someone with a knife.
Now I've got a knife.
Do you think now I've got a knife rather than their knife?
Yeah, I think now I've
got
a knife.
I mugged someone with a knife, so now I've got a knife. Feels
I
good.
Like that. It feels nice.
Maybe
it feels.
I'll do it tonight.
Silly and fun. Yeah.
Because I have got a joke. I've got a bit about when I got mugged in Edinburgh quite a few years ago. And because my phone got nicked recently, it was just in my mind, so I did it, and it was really nice doing it again. So I've sort of updated it a little
bit. It's sometimes nice, isn't it, when you let yourself forget a piece and then try and do it from memory, and you actually only remember the really good bits
and then put
in some other extras that weren't there.
I was literally talking to my friend about that earlier, who hasn't done comedy for years, and he was telling one of his friends a joke, and he missed out a bit in the middle, and then he was like, that bit was not needed, and he insisted on doing it all the time before.
Yeah, suddenly you're like, oh, I was an idiot when I wrote this. Why did I think I needed that little extra quirky line?
So knives. That
knives, I've dropped knives.
I had an old joke as well, it might have been mentioned on the podcast before, about I used to throw knives at the circus, and then the joke be throwing them at the circus.
Yeah.
But I could never quite get a punchline that.
Is it like I used to throw knives at the circus, made a lot of holes in the tent, something like that?
No, because you could still be throwing knives for the circus and making.
Yeah.
That's the trouble.
Yeah.
It's quite hard to so you can't take it at face value.
It is quite because there is several ways.
Because I'd say because I really hate the circus.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to stab the circus, but it's not even.
The circus
you can't
is
stab
like
a circus.
Too much of a big all-encompassing thing. To
yes.
Like, is it the people or the tent or is it the venue?
I think that's the issue.
Yeah.
Because I imagined the circus is sort of driving past, and I'm throwing knives at them.
Yeah.
Also, I'm throwing knives at someone. It's not nice, is
it's
it?
It's not the nicest. Yeah.
But there was something in it. So knives is dead. What else is dead?
Knives are dead. I took out a bit about going to see a sex show in Amsterdam because again, it was like it's funny. It's fine, but it works quite well for a late night gig in Edinburgh anyway. And again.
Was it a specialist one? I had a video the other day, one of my clips, where the audience members went to watch. It was a, what was it? Star Wars sex show on Segways.
Oh my God.
So
the one
niche.
Yeah, mine was, so the whole bit is about going to see the sex show and having the Pirates of the Caribbean films ruined for me. Because I went in and there was this couple on stage, although couple might be too romantic. I think I mean colleagues. and they were having sex dressed up as pirates in time to the Pirates of the Caribbean theme music, which will ruin a franchise for you. And then I just had a few little bits about that. And it was always funny and does work well and did work well. And I've used it in clubs and I still do. But it just, within my show, I couldn't quite work out why I felt there. I needed it. I was just putting it in because naturally I would put that next to the bit it was in a club set.
There must be some examples of franchises that would really be inappropriate to have.
Oh, yeah.
Like Harry Potter.
There's
or
definitely something there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there could be more to it as well. But yeah, again, it was like the knife thing. Like, I'm still fond of that bit. It's just not as...
You think it might make it into another show
it
down
It could
the
be
line.
In another show. It might just be a bit that I use for spots and things. Because I like in Edinburgh... You do a lot of random spots at other shows, and I was worried that I'm showing them 10 minutes of my show,
so
and
got
then
some
they
stuff that you don't waste.
If you've got 8 minutes that's not in your show, then they only see a little bit of your intro. Then they haven't seen the best bits.
Yes, brilliant.
Yeah, it's nicer. I like doing like the ones where you're improvising or you're doing a panel show or something like that, where they see you, they decide whether you're funny, but you don't give away all your punchlines.
So what? So have you got any bits that just didn't work at all that you liked?
Probably that I dropped a while ago. So I have a joke that's still in the show because I just refuse to drop it because I'm attached to it.
Right.
And the first half of the joke always works. It's definitely staying in. It doesn't need the second half. The second half is a callback that is arguably... The problem is it's too far away from the first joke. Really?
So the callback is about the joke you're about to... the joke you dropped, or is it about a
joke
earlier?
No. So both jokes are still in there. The first joke... always works, is staying in, will stay in the show regardless. The callback, I might have to admit, I can't quite make work. I find it funny. It sometimes gets a few people in the audience and it's a bit silly and clever. It's a throwaway line, so I can keep it in. But also...
Do you think they've forgotten about the original joke?
I think that is the problem. It's like maybe 15 minutes between the two, something like enough time that realistically... they could have forgotten.
It's got to be a strong first joke to keep staying in their memory. Like.
Yeah, and it will stay in the memory. The trickiness of the follow-up is the first joke's about... Oh my God, we have a weird sounding dressing room.
I bet they didn't even hear it on there. That happens.
Oh no,
sometimes.
Probably not. We're just going to sound like we got super distracted. the first half of the joke is all about Schrodinger's cat. Or it's like a Schrodinger's cat joke and the...
A
Schrodinger's cat joke. Schrodinger's cat.
I don't know what that is.
Schrodinger's cat is a principle of quantum physics, but a lot of people have heard of it. The idea
is
if there's a cat
that.
In a box, it's dead and alive at the same time until you check. So if there's a cat in the box, you can't see into the box and you can't hear.
Yes.
You don't know if the cat's dead or alive.
Yes.
So it's actually dead and alive at the same time.
It's the theory.
That's the theory. That's how it works in quantum physics. And you only find out about its state when you open the box and look at it.
So that could be about anyone you can't see.
Yeah. So I've got a joke about whether or not someone's dead, and then I just refer to them as Schrodinger's Gerald because they're dead and alive because I don't know if they're dead or alive.
Yeah.
And then the joke within it is, that's one of the jokes, and then the subsequent joke is that my friend is the one who suggested they're Schrodinger's Gerald, and I misinterpret by being like, oh, what, so if I ring a bell, they eat a biscuit? So I'm just doing a Pavlov's dog joke in there as well.
Yes.
Which is fine and funny and gets a laugh there and works, and then I move on from that bit. And later, I have a bit where I say midnight's my favourite time of day because it's yesterday and tomorrow at the same time.
Okay, nice.
It's Pavlov's day, which is actually... me again doing a callback to me getting Schrodinger's cat wrong, because really it would be like Schrodinger's day.
With you, yes.
So,
and you say that's
some
a bit that doesn't always hit.
It doesn't always hit. It always seems to get like a few people. It's not a big laugh anyway. It's a silly, like, clever laugh.
Yeah.
It's just such a silly idea that I'm clever enough to relate the theory to that midnight, but stupid enough to still think it's the dog one and not the cat one.
Do you talk about the dog one before? Are you relying on everyone knowing?
I'm relying on everyone knowing Pavlov's dog.
I feel like that's definitely...
Yeah.
I feel like most people should know that.
But people do get it, and they get the first joke. They know it's Pavlov's dog. The only reason there's... Firstly, the second one is quite far away, just in terms of time. I've said loads of jokes in between. They've been distracted. Secondly, I never say Pavlov in the first joke, so I am relying upon them plenty of people know Pavlov's dog, but maybe don't know the name Pavlov off the cuff as quickly as they would.
Of course, yeah.
So I am relying upon them suddenly being like, oh, yes, she's clever enough to know that, but stupid enough to still get it wrong. It's it sort of works, and I'm going to try it again tonight because I just refuse to drop it.
Well, we'll report back later on
report
how that goes.
Back on how well it goes. I'm just fond of it. It's silly. I like it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. What else have you got?
What else have I got? I have a couple of new ones. One of them I'm going to put in the show just because I think it's a silly, fun one-liner. And one I think is, they're both of the same genre, which are kind of like, I would call them like, but actually, or like, well, actually jokes. Mm. And the first one, which I don't think is good enough for the show, is a lot of people say age is just a number, but it's actually three letters, which is just stupid.
Yes, that's great.
And then the second one, which is better, which I've put in the show, which is one of my friends suggested I might enjoy a head massage, but I prefer it when they use their hands. Which is kind of the same, like, stupid.
Yes, with you. Sorry, I clocked the second one, but I was still thinking about the first one.
Still thinking about the age one.
Yeah, so what were the reactions to those jokes?
I haven't done the age one on stage because I just don't think it's good enough yet.
So with the age one, say the age one again.
A lot of people say age is just a number, but it's actually just three letters.
Do you think the fact that you say three makes a...
It might make it not work. I did also think there was a version where I thought, where it's going to be like, but sometimes it's several numbers. But I don't know if that's me being an idiot, because 71 is still one number, but it's not a 7 and a 1.
I think I think the fact that it's a word.
Yeah, I think the word is the better version. I just am not sure if that version is strong enough.
Why can't you say it's actually a word?
Yeah, I suppose so. A lot of people say age is just a number. It's actually a word.
Also, it's also a word.
It's also a word.
That's
better. That is a nicer way to it, at least.
Because they say age is just, so the just part, because it's just a number. It's not just a number.
But it's also a word.
I feel like that, that flows
quite nicely.
That is
the way that would work better. I'm going to write that down.
Write it down.
That's
what we're here for. That's what we like to hear. Bit of notepad jotting. And the second one was the head massage one.
That one does get a laugh because it is just silly, really.
Really silly.
Are
you giving the head massages?
No, I'm implying
that. Does that make it funnier if you're doing it?
I think it could, but then I think in the situation where I'm giving a head massage, I don't quite know if the punchline can make the same amount of sense.
You've got to be careful of the connotation of head and
massages. Yeah, I mean, I hadn't even thought about that.
Neither did I. I don't know why. Someone just mentioned it.
Oh, no, I've got enough rude jokes in my show that there would be someone who'd be like, blowjobs.
Yeah. That's the thing. If it comes off the back.
Every word is going to sound wrong.
If it comes off the back of some ruder jokes, and maybe they're looking for that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that's an issue. Actually.
I don't think people are really looking for it, but there's also...
The way you said it the first time.
The way I said it the first time, and I've done it, is a friend of mine suggested I might enjoy a head massage, but I prefer it when they use their hands.
Yes.
Which is just silly. It's not the most sophisticated joke, but it's just a bit silly.
Yeah. And you're using that, are you?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have in the last three previews or something. I only wrote it recently.
Yeah.
And it's got enough of a laugh, every one of them, that I haven't decided to take it out for now. Greetings.
Greetings. So you have just come off stage. I'm going on stage shortly.
Nice.
Nice audience. Good gig. Well done.
Yeah, thanks. They were very lovely. I was just saying, it's nice when they just immediately trust that you're going to be good. So they just go for the first few jokes and you don't have to win them over. They're just on side.
Yeah, they were.
Which is really nice.
Yeah, because, the people that aren't comedians probably won't realise, but in a regular comedy night, you have a compere who goes on a cold audience, gets the audience warm, and then you come on and do your act. But when you're doing Edinburgh, or any tour shows, you can have a warm up.
Yeah.
But with Edinburgh, you go on cold. So it's tough. It can be tough.
Well, and you are always following the admin of them checking tickets and finding seats and getting their coats off and stuff. So it's all
And a lot of acts have to make the decision whether you're going to do some compare-y bits at the top, which I don't ever do.
I do a tiny bit of it's nice to, thanks so much for coming type stuff, but I've sort of incorporated
you
joke
kind of
into
worked,
that.
You kind of worked your material into a question, just to kind of make them feel like they're being involved.
I do that, and the joke I have at the beginning about the brochure, it's specifically designed so I can thank them for coming, but have a joke.
Right, got you, yeah.
I should tell people that joke, otherwise I'm just being mysterious. The joke I make is, so my name is Adele. So the joke I make is that I'm in Edinburgh, I'm thrilled to have you all in the audience. I absolutely love people who come to the biggest arts festival in the world with thousands of show, flip open the brochure to A and go, fuck it, that'll do.
Yeah, that worked really well.
Yeah, they really went for it there, which is nice because sometimes at previews it's a bit jarring to talk about a different audience that they aren't, but they
right.
just... They got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Huddersfield for all the gigs.
So it's interesting seeing the joke we were talking about. The
Pavlov one?
Yeah, but what's the word? I still don't know the word of the thing before that.
Oh, the Schrodinger one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't... So you don't tell them anything about that?
No. I am relying upon them knowing it.
Yeah, I don't... Mm. I think some of them did, but I don't think they all do.
Although in all of my previews, always enough people do.
Yeah.
And I think I don't want to... dumb it down for people, and like even the people who don't fully get it probably know that they know vaguely what it is.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like, so do you all know this physics thing?
Line worked after
the,
it.
The Pavlov line within their hair
but
really
the callback,
works well.
It's
the
almost,
callback is so
it's
far
like,
away.
Yeah, and it's almost like it's quite far removed from like knowing the original.
And also, I suppose,
it's
like
it's
I said
almost
before.
Like a, it's like a throwaway when you do the first one. So it's not even, it's like it's not logged in their consciousness.
Yeah, and I don't say the word Pavlov, and I'm not making a point. I'm just implying that I'm an idiot.
Oh, what? Let's hold for the pipes.
Hold for the pipes. No?
What do you mean you don't mention Pavlov?
Well, I don't say Pavlov.
Oh, hold for the pipes.
In the first joke, I say... Schrodinger's Gerald, and then I say, what, so if I ring a bell, he eats a biscuit, which is the Pavlov dogs. But I never say the name Pavlov.
So I thought you did.
No, I don't give them that. They just know it. But it does mean that when I do the callback, I'm relying upon them knowing Pavlov's the person who's famous for that, because people sort of know the ringing the bell and giving a dog food.
Yeah.
But Pavlov is the name behind that.
No, I didn't even clock that you didn't say the word. And you actually did say that earlier when I was talking
to you. No, it feels like I do, because I've already said Schrodinger's, but I don't say Pavlov's. And I think, I mean, the unfortunate thing is, it's just too far away and it's too weird and I probably have to dump it. But
you probably, well, watching that preview there,
you're
so consistent with laughs, it does stand out.
Yeah, it's tricky. It's a shame, me and my director, Paul Byrne, who was a very good director, and still is, but arguably is not contributing to my show as much now because he died.
Yeah.
we really liked that joke and it made us laugh really solidly for ages.
So you want to keep it in.
So I want to keep it in, but also the reason it made us laugh is it was too silly.
Yes.
And that's the problem. And it is too silly compared with the jokes around it. Like,
I'll keep
it's a baffling joke. I might just keep it and be like, fuck
it. For the
that's
people
the
that
one
really
thing.
Get it.
For the people who
really
get
really
it,
enjoy
they enjoy it. I don't know. I'll toy with it, I think. I mean, especially at a preview like that. It's a noticeable... obvious bit where I am saying what I think is a punchline and not enough people are getting it.
Mm.
If it was even more of a side, I could maybe get away with it. If it was like
so you
completely
feel like, you feel
aside-y.
Like you have to comment on it afterwards.
Mm. Yeah, which I think makes it's hard to judge.
My gut instinct would say don't ever comment, but it does actually.
You can get a
tell
good laugh
the audience.
Off it, and it
tells
the audience that you
that
know
that they and that, that it's just that they don't get it.
Yeah, and it's also it's telling them that like they're not wrong not to get it.
Hold,
I'm acknowledging.
Hold for pipes.
Hold for pipes.
What is going on with that pipe? That's beep boop boop.
I think it must be taps in the toilets.
Oh, and it's
that
a
one.
It's the interval.
And it's the interval, so we're going to get a lot of them.
Yeah, dang it. But okay, any other thoughts?
Any other thoughts? Did I have any other thoughts off the top of my head? They like my lighter bra, but I did fuck it up.
That's
a real spoiler
at like
the end of my show.
Don't tell them. It's fine. But
they liked my prop, but I did fuck up 50% of it.
Yes. Yeah. But well, it's kind of still. But if you could make that, maybe that could be. You could work that in somehow.
I think what I can do and what I should do if I was more theatrical. But I don't have an acting background, so I've done acting, but it's always been comedy acting and sketches and stuff.
Mm.
Whereas if I'd done theatre-y acting, I would be happy and confident in not milking, but slowing down, like, and taking a bow and taking my time. But I'm not, because that's just not a thing I've ever done. And I could do it if I took more time over that. Hold for pipes. Meep.
I might call my next show Hold for Pipes.
Hold for Pipes. Yeah, so I think if I... let myself have and remember that time is always going slow, like slower than you think it is. So if I take 3 seconds to take a bow, it's not a minute, which it feels like.
Yes, of course.
And I probably could do that in a minute slash 3 seconds. But it's fine.
It's
I mean, even if it doesn't quite work, it still gets a good laugh.
Yeah, it does. It did. Yeah. It's a nice little ending because you already got you almost had ended anyway.
Yeah, well,
like
it was. This is a bonus ending. Like the first ending that I do with the lights on and speaking is the actual ending. And then I was like, well, it would be a funny prop to have. Sabonis laugh. Like, did you see Glenn Moore's show?
I've seen a lot of Glenn's stuff, but I haven't seen the full show.
It was the one that got nominated for the award. It was a brilliant show. So I think it must have been that one. He did the whole show. He had a joke really early on in the show about keeping a dinner plate down his trousers. It was really silly. And it was like 15 minutes in. Yeah. Really silly joke. At the end of the show, 55 minutes, and Glenn Moore jumps around, he's always moving. He pulls a dinner plate out the back of his trousers, and it's so good.
Yeah. That's great.
I mean, this is not at that level, but it's a nice joke.
Oh, that's great.
Thanks.
Okay, let's...
Let's let you do your preview.
Adele Cliff! Hashtag Awooga! Adele Cliffa! There she was. Great stuff. Good episode. Any feedback, let us know at Jokes with Mark across all social media. There will be bonus content over on the Patreon, patreon.com/jokeswithmark. Go check that out. Loads of other stuff on there. More from me and Danny. Let's get cracking. Anything more from you, Danny?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Danny. Hashtag Aruga, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.